the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. The Kipperios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick with you for the next 2 hours. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, wherever you're following us, we're glad you are along for the ride. And when you can't catch us live, go to a podcast and download us wherever you get your pods. And as always, little text here and there, 590, 590. Comments, opinions. Don't like Sammy's hair.
What?
It's looking really good.
I just wanted actually, to see if you were paying attention.
I'm paying attention.
All right. Your hair's okay.
I was reading about a lovely lunch my parents are having in Spain.
In Spain?
Yeah. Spain.
Where in Spain?
Yeah. Termolinos in Spain. They go away for, they're retired. They go for 3 months in the winter.
Jeez.
But they do what you should do, Kipper.
Yeah. What are you doing here with us? Have you ever stopped to think about that?
I'm looking out the window. I'm like, but why aren't you at Riviera right
now? I know.
Now?
The weather sucks
terrible.
Right now.
This
terrible.
Winter's been the worst. Just kidding.
Is that a good sign for me and you that our producer, like 10 seconds in the show, is checking on his parents in Spain?
What'd you get for lunch?
I was looking at my phone right before we started, and then you were making fun of my hair, and then I looked up, and here we are.
And here we are tonight. The Philadelphia Flyers facing against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this is the first of three meetings against the Flyers. They have not played since last year.
Is that right?
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
That we're already like...
I guess it's got to happen with
something. Only 30 games left, and they're going to play them three more times starting tonight.
I think they got the Coyotes three more times, too. They got
some awesome history between these teams. The Flyers were maybe my most hated team of my youth, up there with the Sens. A lot of heartbreak to the Flyers. Specifically, Jeremy Roenick.
Tucker on Kapanen's hit.
Yeah, like there's been battles between these two teams.
I'm older, so I'm going back to being, 7, 8 years old and watching the Leafs and the Flyers, the Broad Street Bullies, the Bobby Clarks, the Bill Barbers.
Good games.
Don Selesky. They got charged for going into the stands or throwing a glove and hitting an usherette at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Threw a tire iron.
Oh, yeah. It was Cuckooville back then.
They saw Riley, what Riley did to Greg, those guys, and they went, what's the problem?
They're like, suspension.
I don't see the issue.
Not sure we're going to get that out of the Flyers tonight, but we'll get a Tortorella-ready team.
I think I've watched enough of the Flyers this year, and there's been a team that I've caught enough that it's just, there's just something about that jersey and that logo and that building and that fan base. You need to have a certain type of player, a certain type of like energy about you for them to kind of respond like the fan base. And it feels like this team kind of has it.
Hathaway's got it. Laurier when he's in.
I signed my first professional contract with them on an invitation to, at a junior hockey. Yeah. And I went there like a little boy, and I came back feeling like I was a Flyer.
Yeah.
And it was like, no going back.
Yeah.
Like I spent 3 weeks there, and when you've got Bobby Clarke, Bill Barber, Bernie Perrant walking the buildings or the practice facility in Cherry Hill, and you get to kind of hang out there, and it's like everything was about what being a Flyer is all about.
Right.
And it was that moxie that.
But you never actually played.
We'll beat you every which way, right? We're going to beat you in the alley, or we're going to beat you on the scoreboard, but we're coming for you.
But you never actually played for them, Kip?
No.
What happened again?
I got claimed. The year I was supposed to start with them, I got claimed off waivers by the Washington Capitals.
Went to camp four times, right?
Yeah, but I also had... The technicality was that I was eligible because of 10 games that I played with the Hershey Bears that I think the Flyers weren't sure it counted or not. But regardless, even if I mean, you listen to Bobby Clarke and, you know, I mean, I brought it up once or twice, and I think maybe he claims that he may have known back then. I'm not sure. I know he forgot Claude Giroux's name when he drafted him.
Yeah, happens. No, it's great. And I'm lots of reasons that this Flyer team is super relevant right now. You know, they're hanging on to a playoff spot, but probably don't see themselves that way. They may be trading some big guys, We got comments from Torts on the state of his team and what he thinks they are. They had the Gauthier stuff earlier in the year. Like, there's just a lot going on around this team. So.
Okay, let's start with Sheldon Keefe of the Toronto Maple Leafs on what he sees tonight from the Philadelphia Flyers.
Well, a lot of the young players have taken big steps. They just played hard. I think they've played at a playoff level and playoff intensity, playoff mindset from the start of the season, and with that, with some good talent and depth that it serves you well. But they don't beat themselves. They make it hard to get to their net, 5-on-5 and penalty kill, and then they are killing teams in transition. Like they're as dangerous as anybody on the rush in the entire league. So we've had some troubles with that here of late, so we've got to clean that up, including the other night against St. Louis. We got away with a bunch that didn't show up. We broke up plays before it got to our net, or the opposition didn't execute. So that's as well as we played the other night. If we don't improve that area of the game here tonight, it's going to be tough.
I can confirm, looking at Sheldon's or at the stats after hearing Sheldon, the Flyers are first in the NHL at creating odd man rushes and second in the NHL at limiting odd man rushes against. So they get a ton going that way and they give up none going this way.
Wow.
Which to me is how you end up where they are in the standing.
That's a recipe
to
for
me,
success.
This just has a good coach, Tortorella. And yeah. We can say all we want about his bedside manners, but once you put those aside, this is one hell of a coach.
Yeah, he's getting the most out of what he has here. If you look at this roster, remember Seattle, they said they have like 4 second lines. That's kind of the Flyers. Like their best player, who is it? Konechny probably.
Couturier. I'd still give Couturier.
And are they both outside the top 50 in the NHL?
I don't know where you'd rank them. That's a good point.
Elite guys.
Listen, they don't have superstars. They got very good players, but they don't have a superstar carrying them right now.
Yeah, so being well coached, doing the right things with the puck. Yeah. You know, that actually might be a relevant time. That Tortorella clip, is that?
Well, I mean, he held court this morning. Yeah. You know, he came here and it feels like
a visiting coach holding court in Toronto.
Yeah.
Is that new?
These guys love coming here. There's nothing they love more. All the people down there just
the guys who like the media do. Maurice and Cooper and Tortorella.
Wouldn't you love to have Maurice, Cooper, and Tortorella all together at the same time? Just having a.
Sounds like. Yeah. Nightmare blunt rotation.
That should be a skills competition at the All-Star, right? Where you just put them on a podium and you each give them a minute.
It's a media skills contest where, like, Sarah Valley's got to do a question for each of those guys. Then we grade the answers.
Oh, my God, a media skills comp? Yeah. That's an excellent idea.
Maurice would eat them alive. There wouldn't, Cooper eat
the
them alive.
Edgier sound bite, you put up a mill.
Wouldn't be a ton of athletes in that one.
No, you're right.
So what?
Well, he talked about a lot of stuff. He had a lot of praise for Sheldon Keefe. He was saying that he's a really good coach. But the clip that I put there is it's a great clip. If you guys want to just hear it, we can come off the back of it. It's excellent. So if you want to play that for us, Derek.
It's a different league. It's a different league. And I'm going to be really careful how I say it. I think there is. It's a dumb league. It's changed for coaches too, and we've had to make adjustments because there are so many mistakes made. And I guess the thing with the young athletes is sometimes you have to wait your turn, right? As far as gaining respect and not wanting everything right now, and not expecting everything right now, as far as ice time, as far as your contract, whatever it may be. Sometimes it's good just to wait your turn and earn it. I think that's where I think the athletes have changed. They have entourages around them that I think direct them the wrong way. And the hierarchy of a room, the hierarchy of what it is to be a pro, the process you have to go through as a pro, I think's lost a little bit.
Yeah, you won't get an argument out of me.
No, I think the point that guys come in and want to be treated like a Hall of Famer before having accomplished any run of things in the NHL is a more common thread now among young players, particularly that we make stars out of them in junior now, right?
Oh, yeah.
So by the time they get to the league, they're like, you know.
I mean, he's just waxing poetic.
Yeah.
Like, he gets the Toronto audience. He's like, let's go, baby. It's time to, it's time.
In a couple of, or in 20 minutes, we're going to welcome in Daniel Briere, general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers. And we can get into a ton. But is he talking, Tortorella, really about that last incident with the kid that refused to sign? What was his name
Cutter
again?
Cutter Gauthier. I literally was writing that.
There you go. Okay. So is that really kind of a backhanded way of discussing that situation with those words?
But I do think it's fair to use that and generalize about guys like him, because I do think that's the case. I think it's fair to say that Trevor Zegras came into the league and expected whatever. What's he done in this league? And he's holding
and
out
we,
for...
And we throw him on a cover of E2-24, whatever that video game is. What is that? EA? EA Sports?
Yeah, it's just like NHL 24.
That is the one of the biggest, most ultimate
honors.
Ego.
It's an honor.
Ego-driven thing.
Right. But that's the type of thing we're referring to when and you say guys come in. And
we
it's
gave
like,
it to him because he's a trick shot artist, which, to Tortorella's point, is embarrassing.
It is.
Sammy, this is your era, my friend.
This is Kip. This is where
I'm older
people,
than you think, I think.
This is where people hear you saying that and go, you know, you're among the people that, why can't hockey be fun? And, you know, we're trying to have this like entertainment product and
great.
ESPN wants
great.
This.
Have your entertainment.
But you're talking about winning.
But that,
play the right
but,
way.
Those other kids, they'll win the championships.
I know.
And you will enjoy your Fruit Loops cover box.
Yeah, right? I totally agree.
Yeah, put them on a cereal box. Put them on EA Sports.
Yeah.
Most likes on Instagram. But those kids are winning. And you aren't, you know, getting the job done.
Yeah. You got a lot of guys who... who aren't like that. Not everyone is like that, but certainly there are more kids who come in with their own followings before they get here, and that's part of the challenge. Also, I think Torts' point is that we are more accepting of mistakes in the league. It used to be like, all right, you have to like wait until you have this all figured out before you can do the fancy stuff. And now you get the chance to play and make mistakes and learn on the job. The NHL didn't used to be a developmental league. It was a learn on, you know, you have to be ready to play. Yeah. Now some guys are like, Slafkovsky's finally finding it in year two of making mistakes in the league.
To be fair to some of the kids, though, the salary cap has changed the dynamics of that.
Absolutely. Right? We have to lean on them way harder.
Well, once the kids get locked in,
it's
or
a cheap
we've,
deal for you.
Where we've overpaid them on potential instead of what they've done in the past, now there's no flexibility to move them in and out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
They are locked in. Therefore, these kids today develop a comfort zone. It's like, hey, buddy, I make $4 million. Where do you think I'm going?
Right.
There's
a good clip today.
It never doesn't get me, that clip. Like, it gets me every single time. I hate it.
I know.
I hate it.
Which one is this one? Sorry,
Jack Hughes. I'd say we're doing it.
Say we're doing okay.
Yeah. Like someone questioned them in the middle of a heater.
An 8-game heater.
In the middle of a heater, bro. A
little less, unless they get Markstrom, but that's a conversation for later on in the show.
Yeah. But so, you know, to Torts' credit, he's got them playing the right way. They're winning a lot of games. So they won 5 straight games in January. Then they lost 5 straight games to end January. Then they've won 4 straight going in tonight. So it could be 5 straight against the Leafs.
Mm.
So they've been streaky, and I think it would be hard for the man we're going to talk to in 20 minutes to decide what to do with this group.
As far as the Flyers are concerned, they should be getting at least a better Leaf team on paper. It does sound like Marner, Tavares,
Willie,
did he practice this morning, Willie?
All of them practiced
today. So
no,
let's get Sheldon Keefe on managing the energy level of some of his sick guys.
Yeah, you always got to be mindful of it. Seems they're doing well. Willie in particular, who obviously played less than 100%, seems to bounce back really well. But yeah, you know, anytime you got guys coming back, same with injuries and stuff. But you know, they haven't missed long. But it's the type of illness they had. It's you're not sleeping well, you're not eating well, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we'll monitor it, kind of take it from there.
So, do these guys have some bad shellfish or something? Like,
I don't know. I just know that I never felt worse than like the first game off illness, where your cardio's a bit down, you don't quite have your legs or your lungs. Like, it's just really tough to, like, you know, have that pop. You exist out there, but it's tough to have any job.
I mean, after what an incredible showing it was from the Leafs role players on Tuesday night, he'll play them more, right?
Well, I hope not.
What do you mean?
Well, no, I mean, I hope we don't get a different look. I hope these guys can come back and you can still feel.
You want the role players
to still play. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 100%. I hope they have a good look as early as the first period, where they're just kind of picking up the energy off of the St. Louis game.
Yeah, I would be fine if 88 played 15 minutes tonight and, you know, Mitch played 17 and whatever, you know, like that's okay tonight. And Domi and those guys can see if they can do it again. Show us again.
Listen, these guys make $11 million, but there'll always be that part of them that says, well, I don't want the team to look really good without me.
You're so right.
For too long.
Yeah.
And that alone could speed up the process of getting better sometimes. Like, I don't care where you are on where you think you are on the pecking order. You're like,
Tavares watches Bertuzzi dish to eight people and get nine chances at net front on PP1 goes, I actually feel okay.
Yes.
I'm starting to come around.
You know?
Yeah. Put me back in, coach.
Let me get the vapor rub and I'm ready.
Yeah. What's the word on Gio?
Well, just listen to this clip. And we can talk about it after, okay?
No, it's tied to it. It's not overly comfortable for him to have a skate on right now. He's fine when he has it on, but the off and on and off and all that kind of stuff doesn't serve him well on the same day in particular. So yeah, he's reluctantly stayed off.
On the same day in particular, is he leaving his skates on from one day to the next?
No, I don't know.
What happened to his foot?
It hurts to have a skate on.
It seems like an important part of being a hockey player.
Are we going to start hearing about these kind of, without being really detailed, are we going to start hearing about guys with bumps and bruises that could go to IR at any time with a trade coming?
Some mystery bumps and bruises.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah.
You might have seen it with Wall already coming back here. And like, oh, Jonesy, don't know what it is, but boy, he's just not feeling right.
Suddenly he's hurt. Wall coming back. Do you remember an incident with Gio? Did he block a shot? I know he blocks
a lot.
Yeah, he's the league's all-time leader. He was given a golden shin pad last year.
Trophy, a plaque.
You didn't like it, if I recall.
It's a badass trophy. I think
golden
it's amazing.
Shin pad?
To be the all-time leader in block shots, regardless of when they started tracking him, it's a great.
It's cool, but you can't say regardless of when they started tracking him. You know, you got Craig Ludwig sitting at home going, what? Blocked 4,000 shots a day.
Could just speak to, like,
you're right.
Some bad goalies.
Darian Asher.
Maybe if he had better goalies, he wouldn't block so many.
Wouldn't have to get in the way of so many. All right, so Gio's a hard maybe.
Kipper, I want to actually... Can we talk about your article you wrote today? Because I thought it was very good.
Well, I kind of, my weekly article for the Toronto Star went out today, and it was on Morgan and, you know, what he ended up doing to cost himself five games. And I also talked about the potential of Morgan being a candidate for the Toronto Maple Leafs moving forward as the next captain. And I only say, I premised that Tavares is in his last year of his deal, and he'll certainly get another chance this spring to lead the Toronto Maple Leafs as the captain. But if it doesn't fare well and he's going into his last year, would it be, you know, unheard of that the Leafs would pick a new captain as early as September, knowing he's in his last year of his deal?
Well, I guess what stands out to me is they're only a few years apart in age, right? It's not like you're handing it down to the next generation. He's 33. Morgan's going to be 30 in a month or less than. So
that's a big 3 years, though.
It is. And in terms of where they're at and their playing quality and all that, that matters too. You did mention in your article something that I've said for years, that it seems like inevitably MLSE and the Leafs will want to sell a 34 with a C on it. Like, that's inevitable.
Yeah.
That they want that to happen. So, but if he's not the right guy for the team, you know, maybe Riley is. I just think it's hard to see them take it off Tavares' sweater for Riley. Matthews, I can see because he is the face of the team.
Yeah, I did mention that I don't think Austin's emotionally there to wear the C yet.
So, I agree, but I don't think that's stopped.
So you're just thinking about selling jerseys.
No. I'm thinking about where they see him, the commitment they make to him, the you know, the fans seeing.
So even though we don't think you're perfect, we've boxed ourselves into just building you up to be this guy, and there's no turning back.
Yeah, I mean, you look at 20-year-olds who are handed the C in the NHL. You know, they're probably not the best leaders on their team, but teams say you're our guy. We go as you go.
Yeah,
it should be Morgan.
Huh?
It should be Morgan.
It should have been Morgan when they gave it to JT.
Yeah.
In retrospect, at the time, I don't remember having that opinion, but...
No, that wasn't ever really talked about. And you mentioned that as well, that like that, when it happened, it was really between Matthews and Tavares. And we all know what happened with Matthews.
And towards the end, himself.
Yeah, towards the end of that summer. And that conversation kind of went away. And then they gave it to Tavares. But I do feel kind of bad that during that time, it wasn't really more of a consideration for Riley.
Yes.
Because I think he's always been a heart and soul guy. Like, he really
is. He's always been the voice of reason for them.
He's the best of the media. He talks the most. Like,
if after next year the Leafs move off of JT and it's wide open, this is the guy that's most ready to wear the C.
And he's also under contract for 5 more years, whatever, just like Matthews is. Yeah. Like, he's, you know, he's going to be here. He's cheap. He's... Yeah. I mean, he's the right guy. He's the dad to me, you know, the adult in the room.
Mm.
I don't yet see Matthews that way. I think he can be, and I actually think he's gotten a lot better in the media. He's thoughtful. He's not defensive at all. Like, he's pretty open. He's good. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Riley still feels like the guy that we're like, okay, how does the team really feel? Let's talk to Morgan. The all or nothing series, he was in it like 0 times. And it was like, yeah, because he didn't do anything like inflammable, really. Yeah. He's just Morgan.
Yeah, or they just chose not to use it, right? HBO, too, was it HBO? I don't even know what
Amazon,
it was. Amazon, HBO, whatever the case is. I'm sure they had a ton of Morgan Riley. They just didn't use it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Or the Leafs chose not to use it. I don't know.
Because he's not that exciting. And I mean that in a complimentary way. He's just...
But maybe that's the perfect guy,
Yes, in this market, it probably is.
Not too high, not too low, just, you know...
But they probably thought that about Tavares, who's just the extreme of that.
But he would never do what Morgan did Saturday night.
God, no.
No.
Right?
And same time, yeah, you need to have that ability to get outside that emotional range. And in your article did make the point about... You know, when you're leading, finding the emotion of a game is that's part of leading.
And that's been a knock against the core four for a long time. Is
sure
that
is.
They'll outskill you and they'll find a way to bury one last puck in the net, but they won't beat you in other ways.
Can you recall a guy getting a 5-game suspension for something and it leading to universal acclaim? Like, not one person is like, that made me think less of him. Like, to a man, all the Leafs fans I've talked to are like, glad it happened.
Yeah.
Even, you know, his coach says it was fitting, his teammates.
Or, something needed to happen, right? You just could not watch another episode where the Leafs eat a crap sandwich, and there's no response.
Right.
I saw a clip from Evander Kane talking about it yesterday, too, and he said he thought it was an appropriate response, too.
I saw Braden Schenn say the same thing.
It's like, yes. You know, it's almost like it should have been a 5-game suspension, boys.
Right.
Almost like that, but, you know, Leafs tax, baby.
It sounds like there's just too much surrounding it, right?
Yeah.
The league doesn't like
how much...
We don't
need to relitigate this.
No, we don't.
We can talk about it again when the appeals go through.
The Philadelphia Flyers will have Sean Couturier as their 20th captain in Flyer history wear the C for the first time against the Leafs.
Yeah. Claude Giroux was their last captain in 21-22, so it's been a couple of years since they named a captain. Couturier, two-way, Selke guy, yeah. 30 years old. I mean, he, to me, is a perfect leader. Oh, what's that face?
Oh, I know. I'm okay. I like Konechny, too.
Yeah.
Only because...
He's a little too young, right, for me.
Ah, listen, but it's the Flyers.
It's like giving it to Marchand, like,
yeah,
five years
like,
into his career.
The Flyers, and you've brought Keith Jones back, and he talks about the history and bringing back that pride. He's more that guy for me, to go back a little bit to their history.
Yeah, it is crazy to sit here, and I know Leafs fans are like, don't even say it. But, you know, they traded the Konechny pick for Dermott and Bracco. And it was the idea of outsmarting the draft position. And, yeah, you know, at this point of the draft, two picks around here are worth more than one. You had two lottery tickets. Meanwhile, imagine just Konechny and the Leafs.
How about just take the first round guy?
Take the guy.
How about take the guy who's like a
point per game flyer with emotion.
Way to go, Kyle.
Go Dumas.
Well, we'll see.
I don't even know if it was him.
It was definitely him, yeah.
But Hunter... Lou, they were all there at that time. Was it him?
This is a Kyle one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to break.
I can't remember.
Let's go to break.
I don't know for breakfast. All right, let's take a quick break. General manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, Daniel Briere, will join us, and we'll get into Sean Couturier, his next captain, and plenty more when Real Kipper and Bourne return.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. You are listening to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. The Toronto Maple Leafs are set to take on the Philadelphia Flyers, who are in town tonight at Scotiabank Arena. This will be the first of three meetings between both clubs. And let's welcome in general manager of those Philadelphia Flyers, Daniel Briere. Hey, Danny, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How about you guys?
We're good. We're good. Did you travel with the team? Are you in Toronto? Or are you home working the phones? Give us the latest, pal.
I'm in town in Toronto. Always a fun time to come to Toronto. I think it's our only visit to the Maple Leafs this year. So I'm on the trip. Wanted to be here for it.
Well, we know that two more games, March 14th and March 19th as well. So since you have been there and watched this team progress here, where are you in terms of the process? And, you know, now we're looking at a potential situation where there's a trade deadline, there's a playoff scenario here. Are you ahead of where you thought you'd have this hockey club by now?
Well, first of all, credit goes to our coaching staff and our players for really having the type of season that they're having this year. Probably a little bit ahead of the progress that we thought we would be in. You know, bringing a couple of veterans back in the lineup that didn't play last year, and Couturier and Atkinson was a big help leadership-wise. But our young guys have really stepped up, and that makes a big difference. But, you know, we're trying to stay realistic, and it's finding the fine line between, you know, making sure that we also take care of the future while we give our players, you know, the chance to move ahead and make a playoff run. But we're certainly excited with the chance and the possibility of playing big games. Experience-wise, it's so good for all our players to be in a playoff spot at this time of the year. The games are getting bigger, more intense. I think it's fabulous. But at the same time, we're keeping an eye on the future, and we have to listen to what's out there. And if there's something that makes too much sense for the future of the Flyers, it's something that we'll have to take care of.
Well, we're certainly keeping a close eye on your team. I know 5-game winning streak, then a 5-game losing streak, 4-game winning streak. We're trying to figure out what you guys got there. One of the players that you have added this year was Jamie Drysdale, where it was a highly publicized trade at the time. How has Drysdale acclimated himself so far with the Flyers?
He's been great. First of all, you know, he's such a high character person to start with. He fit right into our group. He wants to win. I think he's excited to be here with this group, it sounds like. And but it wasn't easy for him here. You know, it's a change. He's only 21 years old. It's a big change at this stage of his career. He probably imagined that he'd be a Anaheim Duck for a long, long time and have the chance to grow with that organization. So I'm sure he was a little surprised by the move, but he's adapted well. He hasn't shown that, you know, he's uncomfortable with the pressure that comes from playing in Philadelphia. And, you know, for Jamie, it's not just we're watching him, not just for this season. He's going to be here for a long time. We're excited by what he brings, and our goal is to develop him into one of the top defender in the league.
We're talking to Daniel Briere, general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers. Danny, when I signed my first professional contract with the Philadelphia Flyers, it didn't take me long to understand what the C meant on that jersey, led by Bobby Clark. And now you've got Sean, you got Sean Couturier sporting the C tonight for the first time as your 20th captain in franchise history. Just the process of getting there with Sean. You know, I like that Travis Konecny, like him as an old school type of guy. But how hard was that decision on ultimately settling on Sean?
Hey, it wasn't hard at all. You know, the tough part was for Torts to get to know Sean a little better. You know, Torts came aboard last year. He didn't have him. You know, they crossed paths in the hallways and around the rink, but he never had the chance to coach Sean and never had the chance to be behind the bench in the heat of the action during a game and see how he'd react. So, you know, coming into the season, we felt it was the right thing to do for Torts to get to know Sean a little better. I think everybody around the team, you know, myself and Jonesy and everybody else kind of knew that it was Sean's team. But you know, Torts didn't know him well, and we all agreed that it was the right thing to do to wait and see when the time would be right to name him captain after Torts got to know him better. And in the last few days, we started discussing that, and Torts agreed that it was time to do it. The team is performing well. Coots had been, you know, one of the leader and really reacted well to adversity this season, and then it was time to do it. And in TK's case and Travis's case, it's, you know, you mentioned it. He plays, you know, he gets under your skin. He's what we like to say, he's a typical Flyer. He's always in the mix. He never stops coming after you. He's been, you know, on the ice, probably our best player this year. So, you know, very deservedly so for him as well.
Just one thing on Couturier, because we do know that he signed an 8-year deal. And then after that, if my memory serves correct, Daniel, he had the back issues or he had surgery. Like, was it touch and go with this guy for a little while there on where he was heading the rest of his career with this injury?
Yes, I mean, there were a time where it got a little scary. You know, at first we thought it'd be, you know, he had to have surgery and he'd be ready to go the next year. And unfortunately, the next season, he didn't feel better. So he had to go under the knife again. And that's when, you know, you never know where these things are going to go after. But I give him a lot of credit because he spent a lot of time. He wanted to be back on the ice. He took care of himself and really sacrificed a lot of things to make sure that he was in the best condition possible to make a comeback. So really impressed how he handled it, how he handled himself. You know, I've known Sean since he was drafted as an 18-year-old. So I've known him very, really well over, you know, the course of his career. And, you know, I thought it was time for him to don the C, very representative of what the Flyers are all about.
Daniel, I wanted to ask you a little bit about John Tortorella and coaching in 2024. He made some comments today or yesterday to Luke Fox from Sportsnet just about the league today and the type of players, you know, that they come into the league, these young guys now, and almost feel like there's maybe a sense of entitlement, and it's harder to wait for these guys to be patient and make them earn it. I want to get your thoughts on that, on the idea that it's tough to get young guys to be patient for their spot, and also just a guy like John Tortorella, who's an old school coach, and how he's done dealing with today's young player.
Well, I'm not going to comment
on
that.
For the record, he called it a dumb league. So
he's allowed his opinion. I'm not going to go against it.
Yeah.
He's coached for a long time, and he's done a fabulous job. He's earned the right, you know, to have his opinion, and he's a tremendous coach. You know, what he's done with our team this year, not just this year, even last year, because the rebuild for me started last year with him. He was the first piece that we brought in as our rebuild. He's been amazing with our young guys. And the perception out there that, you know, Torts is just a coach for the veterans, you know, it's so wrong. You look at what he's done this year with our young guys, and you get to appreciate how good of a coach he is and how good he is at developing not just older players but also the young guys and giving them a chance to be successful, to be difference makers, to take a large role on the team. He's certainly not afraid to use the young guys. So I've been really happy with what he has provided him and his coaching staff to the Flyers for the last, you know, year and a half since he was hired.
Daniel, I got to ask you about the goaltending situation, and, you know, I'm not going to rehash anything about 2018, but Carter Hart is no longer there. And if and when he gets back, no one knows. How do you prepare moving forward when it comes to depth in your net?
Yeah, it's certainly not an easy situation to lose a top goaltender. Fortunately for us, you know, we have another guy that stepped up this year in Sam Ersson that's taken a big role. And not just since Carter has left the team, but even before. I mean, he was challenging Carter, you know, until he left. Probably the previous month and a half before Carter left, he was challenging him to start. And he earned him. It's not like he was given a free role there. He really earned his starts, and you know, now we understand that it's a lot tougher when you don't have a guy like Carter Hart beside you, but Sam has kept playing just as well as he was, and we hope he keeps developing, but we've been really, really impressed with him. You know, now Cal Peterson, it, you know, gives him the chance to come up and play some games and show what he's all about. But the exciting part for us is the pool of prospects that are coming. They might not be ready this season or next season, but we have a lot of good young goaltender in coming up behind them that, you know, hopefully will hit and we'll be able to provide some help down the road.
The you know, looking at your roster, there's just a number of players who have had seasons that I would say met or exceeded expectations. One of them for me is Travis Sanheim. He's been on the ice more than any other player for you guys this year. He's in the first year of a pretty long-term contract. Tell us about his development and where you think he's at.
Yeah, he's taken a huge step this year. To be honest, we challenged him in the offseason. And I think when, you know, it's not a secret, his name circulated in a rumor mill. I'm sure he didn't like that, but kudos to him. He stepped up his game, and with the departure of Ivan Provorov, he really took it upon himself to be the leader back there on defense. He stepped up from game one, even training camp, I should say. He showed up at camp, you know, in amazing physical condition, and then he just started going rolling from that point on. He's been the leader back there, and it's really helped our young defense, our young guys, you know, behind him. He took the lead, and everybody's following along. So we've been really happy with Travis Sanheim this season.
Hey, take me back a little bit here. Did you take heat for trading for Owen Tippett? Because I think it's turned out.
It's working out okay.
I think it's worked out okay. And, of course, very popular in Claude Giroux getting traded to Florida. But if I recall, everybody was going, okay, like, Owen Tippett, please. We could have done so much better. And here he is on the front line, earned himself a nice $50 million contract. Talk about Tippett's rise to stardom a little bit here.
Yeah, he's been simply amazing. It's been exciting to watch him develop, you know, last season and then in this season. It was Chuck Fletcher's deal, to be honest. You know, a lot of people were involved in that, but, you know, I really commend Chuck for holding his ground there. We did a lot of work as far who would be coming our way, but, you know, Chuck did tremendous in
yeah.
deal. And, you know, Owen has developed. He's getting better and better. Torts keeps saying that he has 3 or 4 more years left to him that he hasn't used yet. So who knows where he can get to. But it's been so exciting to watch him this year take into a leadership role and really a force on the ice with his power, his skating, his shot. You know, it just shows you sometimes you have to be patient with, you know, with certain players. It's some players it takes a little longer to develop. You know, Owen is one of them. But if you're willing to put the patience in, sometimes it can pay off. It's not always easy to do because we're in a win-now league, unfortunately. But it was definitely worth it with Owen Tippett.
All right, last one for me. Just want to get your thoughts on some of the teams in your division or in that wild card hunt, even in the Metro. Behind you guys, the Devils, the Islanders, the Penguins, some pretty good teams nipping at your heels. Is there any of those teams that you guys feel is a real threat?
It's pretty scary when you look at those
teams
chasing you. Yeah. We thought, you know, early in the season, I think everybody thought we'd be chasing them. You know, you have to respect what, you know, what the Penguins have done with, you know, their core players that are still there. You know, they can turn it on at any moment and get on a string. You know, you look at the Devils last year, how good they were. So we know they can certainly turn it on pretty quick. And now the addition of Patrick Roy in Long Island, anything is possible with the Islanders. So it's pretty scary to look behind. So we're trying not to look behind and look forward.
Yeah.
Try to keep winning as many games as we can in the meantime.
Is Brad Tree Living still calling you 3 times a day for Nick Seeler and Sean Walker?
I haven't heard from Tree. You know,
we'll give him your number.
pass it on. No, it's... We'll see what happens. There's, you know, obviously things are heating up for a lot of teams, and it's going to be interesting to see how it goes coming down the stretch. It's going to be my first rodeo in, you know, going through the trade deadline, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you're looking forward to it, I bet. Really appreciate your time doing this, Daniel. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time.
Good luck the rest of the year.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Daniel Briere, general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, and one of the nicer guys you'll meet in our game.
Did you say that Tree hadn't called him at all?
I don't know.
Sent him a text, maybe?
See how he just kind of threw that out?
They're on WhatsApp.
Hey,
yeah. Signal.
You throw something out, a little tongue-in-cheek, and you get an answer.
Yeah. Hey, Brad, you got to check in. If you're listening to the show today, give him a call. Ow. See what he wants.
Don't tell me Brad's not making any calls. That's all he's been doing, I'm sure, since, what, October?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It didn't sound like he's talked to Danny.
I love Danny Briere as a player. Heart
yeah,
and soul
me too.
Guy.
Big fan.
He always scored some big goals.
Yeah, he's a gamer.
Killed the gamer. Killed the Leafs. Yeah. I just remember him scoring
Buffalo.
Big goals. Oh, yeah. Those stupid slug jerseys. He just lit up the Leafs.
I have this obscure memory of him from when Hall and Seguin were rookies or about to be drafted, and Briere's going through. They were doing a walkthrough before the draft, and Briere's telling him about his sticks. And he says he starts the year using a 75 flex. This was Briere.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
this.
And because he, you know, you can't keep muscle on during the season, by the end of the year, he switches to a 65 flex. 65 flex.
65.
Like,
but even 75 is absurd.
It is.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Short stick, though, right? He's not that
Yeah.
Guy.
So, Nick Seeler.
And he's the reason we have Auston Matthews.
Yeah.
He was Auston Matthews' favorite player when he was playing for Arizona.
Arizona.
At the start of his career.
Is
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So there you go.
Who's most attractive here for you on the Flyers? Scott Laughlin, we hear as a potential centerman that teams might be interested in. Nick Seeler, who is a good second pair guy for me.
Is he?
Yeah.
I couldn't give you one Seeler take, but I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, Konechny's a guy I like.
You're not getting Konechny.
Okay.
You're not getting him.
All right.
It's funny because his name just comes up as a, you know, potential guy if you're picking a carcass of a team. It's like they're a playoff team. They love him. He's having a great year.
Yeah.
No reason to think he's going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll watch Jamie Drysdale. We heard Daniel, you know, speak very highly of him. For me, he's still in this development stage of his career where he's got some good upside, but still needs, I think, to work on his overall game. I'm not sure how much coaching he's had from the defensive side over the years, but that needs to strengthen up. But I think he's going to have a really solid career. So,
I think it's hard for guys when really talented players go to kind of uncompetitive teams and they say, we got no one else. You're going to play 21 minutes a night on a team that's losing. Like you go to Anaheim. I don't think it's good for a guy like him. So Philly should help.
Just seen a report from Chris Johnson saying that the in-person here or the suspension appeal to NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman is scheduled for noon tomorrow in New York. It'll be conducted in person.
Great. And that shouldn't take that long. Like you have the conversation, whatever that 30 minutes, hour, whatever, and Gary should be able to make a decision within a day.
Yeah, it doesn't work that fast, I think.
But like, why can't it? Or why shouldn't it?
Well, because just get none of the other ones have in the past.
But I agree. But that
but
to me.
But it's the Leafs, Kipper.
But no.
There's your answer.
No, but the answer is not, but it's the Leafs, is that the other one should be fast too. You hear the appeal. You're the decision maker. Make the decision.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it is faster. Like, maybe it's a faster
My
no.
Hot take of the day is that he's going to back it off to four.
Just go put it down to two.
I cannot.
Set the internet ablaze.
I don't see that for a second because you're going to have to put up with all the naysayers.
It shouldn't be five. Who cares what team it is and the noise?
Yes.
It should not be a five-game suspension.
Yes. You.
It's
and
a dumb league.
A million other Leaf fans feel the same way.
Oh, my God. That is such a good drop.
It's a dumb league?
It's a dumb league.
It's a dumb league.
I've often heard best sport, worst league. I've often heard that.
In my article today, I did talk a little bit about the lack of emotion has a lot to do with the game and the systems are being so analytically driven. It's taken away the spontaneity of the players and the intensity. Like, it's almost robotic sometimes watching the kids play.
Well, because you're saying, instead of go, you're saying, hold here, and trap there.
We're this far away from drawing arrows for the kids.
Oh, we draw the arrows, and the kids who remember to follow them get to play more.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of how it works.
Now, I don't know. It's a part of torts, as you say, you know, dumb coaches sometimes, too.
Yeah. For sure.
That's fair.
That's fair.
When do we get to
suck the emotion out of the game?
What are you going
to
say, buddy?
When do we get to yell about Fanatics jerseys? Is
later you want to do show? That now? Or?
I don't know. See, this is more up your alley because you are a jersey guy.
I am a jersey guy.
The problem here?
The problem is that they're taking some heat for the MLB because I think Nike pawn it off on them? Like they designed them and now Fanatics is making them. And they're taking heat. Like, the players are, like, filing grievances with Nike. Like,
Are buttons falling off?
They hire Costanza, and the jerseys are all made of cotton.
Justin Verlander, how many numbers are in jerseys?
There's only nine letters in his name.
And it's like Jared Saltalamacchia. It's like a rainbow.
The kerning is the fancy word for the spacing. But it's gross.
This
but
is the thing devastating.
Is, next year, my God, it's
don't
the
you
NHL.
Patronize us.
Next year is the NHL, boys. They're taking over the NHL jerseys.
Yeah, it's going to be spelled AEFs. You know, they're going to mess up the spelling on the jersey somehow. The fails.
Well, we just can't leave this conversation hanging here. We're going to have to pick this up in our national hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Jerseys
All right,
matter.
Our thanks to Daniel Briere, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, as they get set to go head-to-head tonight at the Scotiabank Arena. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, David Amber, number one host here at Sportsnet.
Yeah, anyone you want to turn the keys over to him or what?
Anyone that's coming on our show is number one.
He's the guy. He's going to bench press us both on television.
Yes, he is. I hope he's wearing a guns shirt today, too.
They're all gun shirts to him, pal.
More of Real Kipper and Bourne and David Amber when we return.